You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Gonna have a good day around here. DA with you every single morning, Monday through Friday, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, right here on CBS Sports Radio. Laugh and learn with us every single morning. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Our toll-free line, as always. Dial me up if you want to talk about last night's Nuggets win over the Lakers to pull to 2-1 in that series, the Western Conference Finals. It's 855-212-4227, and it's sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com. to learn more. Boy, we have got some type of show this morning. I talked about this to start out the show, but how about our four guests coming up this morning? In 20 minutes, Julie Donaldson's going to join us, longtime sports anchor in the D.C. area. She's been promoted to Washington Football's VP of Media. She oversees all of the media channels, hirings, and staffing for all of Washington Football's media outlets. And for Julie, it makes her the highest ranking female official inside that organization. They had a very tumultuous offseason, obviously, including the report from the Washington Post about sexism, misogyny, and maybe perhaps also sexual assault within that organization, at least sexual harassment. And so we'll talk to Julie Donaldson about trying to clean that up, and also about a Washington Football culture that's hoping to change under Ron Rivera. We'll do that coming up in 20 minutes from now. Next hour on the show, how about high wire daredevil Nick Wallenda? He is one of the Wallenda, the Flying Wallendas, a famous clan, famous family of daredevils and high wire acts. Nick Wallenda is going to join us an hour from now. And in hour number four, a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly, we'll have Tim Tebow, who's going to join us on the show at 9:20 Eastern Time, 6:20 Pacific. And then James Lofton, Pro Football Hall of Fame wide receiver and a member of the NFL on CBS. So we have been blessed with many great guests today. Great job by Mraz, locking them all in. So I'm excited about all of them, starting with Julie Donaldson coming up in 20 minutes. Last night, the Nuggets get a Game 3 victory. Jamal Murray was out of his mind yet again. He's been just phenomenal in this postseason. And between him and the Joker, the Nuggets had enough to withstand a 19-2 run by the Lakers and win game number three. And Jamal Murray has planted himself right in the conversation of best scorers in all of the NBA. But I also thought last night was a key, was getting Jeremy Grant going by the Nuggets, that his contributions last night were huge. You know that Murray's going to give you good scoring almost every night. Basically every night. You know Jokic is going to bring it every single night. And so who is going to be the X factor for the Nuggets to help supplement those two guys. Last night it was Jeremy Grant, who's just very active both offensively and defensively, remarkably efficient as well in his scoring, scored over 25 points, and then also did it on just 11 shots. So a very good night for Jeremy Grant, 26 points, which is a career high for the playoffs, 64% shooting, and helped lead the Nuggets to a 2-1 series right now with a Game 3 victory. This weekend is really interesting in college football. It's interesting because we have the SEC beginning play. And so all of the big storylines surrounding the SEC, Lane Kiffin is now at Ole Miss. You have the Pirate at Mississippi State. You have Alabama coming off a quote-unquote down season and now having to restart its quarterback shuffle without Tua Tagovailoa. Now with Mac Jones is going to be the starter. LSU coming off that incredible run to the national championship. Maybe a step forward for Tennessee. Florida should be very good as well in the East. What does Georgia look like since they've been knocking on the door for so long? A lot of interesting stuff cooking in the SEC. And it all starts coming up this weekend. So that's going to be very interesting to watch. And remember, there's no garbage non-conference games that the SEC starts off with. We're getting right into conference season with the SEC this weekend. So we've got Florida Ole Miss. Florida's ranked number 5 of the country. You've got Kentucky Auburn, two top 25 teams of the SEC. Mississippi State LSU. What does the Bulldogs offense look like with an air raid flare against the defending national champs? Georgia, Arkansas, Bama, Missouri, Vandy, Texas A&M. These all involve ranked teams. Tennessee, South Carolina. This has got a lot of action to the SEC. So that's interesting. But also interesting is that Notre Dame's game against Wake Forest has been postponed. Too many positive tests. And I find this interesting because one thing that basketball and hockey have allowed us to do from a sports standpoint is forget about coronavirus. Since basketball and hockey have gone inside their bubbles, we haven't had barely a blip about a positive test, let alone multiple on one team, let alone an outbreak, let alone games being postponed. Because of the effectiveness of the bubble, we take it for granted. Last night, scheduled Game 3 Western Conference Finals. And we all know that game was going to be played. And we all know that moving forward, like let's just say tonight, Celtics and Heat, 8:30 Eastern time, Game 4, it's going to be played. And just moving forward, we take it for granted. Like the Stanley Cup Final, we'll play every game. We will see the end of the road. And I think baseball has gotten its act together as well after all of those crazy episodes of the Marlins and the Cardinals and the Mets. They've been straight shot. They'll go inside their quote-unquote bubbles of the postseason. And my guess is we can take for granted that we will see a Game 4 of the World Series on the date that it's set to be. College football is not like that. College football has had games postponed. Last week, just here on the DA show, we had Super Dave pick a game, and as soon as the show was over, the game was declared postponed, canceled. They couldn't play it because of positive tests. The NFL has also had 2 weeks and really hasn't had an issue. We've had the stories about the head coaches being fined for not wearing their masks, but we haven't had outbreaks of positive tests, and we certainly haven't had star players not be able to play, and we haven't had games postponed or canceled. It's allowed us to just kind of expect that it's going to be played, and once you get back into that rhythm, things stop feeling so abnormal that you know, these are the games on the schedule of my team, here is when they will be played, here's where they will be played, and here's where I will be watching or listening to those games. It clicks you into a normalcy, an expectation that life is not so crazy or absurd anymore. Certainly there's other things happening globally and nationally, but I'm just talking about sports being played at a given time is what we lost when coronavirus hit. But college is not like that. So what's the big difference right now between college and the NFL? Why is college so difficult to predict and the NFL not? And I think because the NFL's not doing bubbles, the NFL players are allowed to go do whatever they want to do. Like, you go to the grocery store on a Tuesday, they can do that. You go to a restaurant that's 25% capacity, let's say, they're allowed to do that. You go and pump gas. You go to a birthday party. They're allowed to do all of those things. So why is it that the NFL feels very stable, very safe, whereas college is all over the place? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. Number one, the college atmosphere is putting the student athletes around a lot of other people all of the time. And I know there's some schools where large classes, like big lectures, are virtual, but that smaller classes are together. Student athletes are still going to some classes. And so they're still around 20, 25, 15, 30, whatever that number is. They're still around that group of people in that room. Also, they're on campus. You can't sequester them in their room and say you're not allowed to leave. So they're going to the student union, they're walking on campus, they're going to this place, that place, what have you. They're probably living amongst other students. My guess is, even if you're a student athlete and you have student athlete housing, which sometimes is separate, you're around other student athletes all of the time. Other athletes could be from different teams. So you're just around a bigger percentage of people. Whereas, let's face it, if you really wanted to and you were an adult, you could be around your kids, your direct family, but, you know, you're kind of in and out of a grocery store with a mask on and you're not really around big groups if that's what your job kind of allowed. So I think just being around kids is a big thing. Also, and I say kids, I'm talking about college-age kids. College-age kids have proven, like high school kids, to be taking this far less seriously than other age demographics. There's been a lot of stories about how college kids have gotten together. Now, not everybody's irresponsible. I know that there's been a lot of college kids that have been like, hey, don't screw this up, underclassmen, or hey, you guys are being irresponsible. But there's been stories of the high schoolers and the college kids that get together and have parties and kind of don't care about it. And so it might be more prevalent amongst those groups to where the student athletes are testing positive. But also, I just think it shows the difference between being a professional. I think for these NFL players, this is a paycheck. This is how they support their family. And when you're an NFL player and you've got a mortgage and you've got to support your kids, you've got a family, you've got a car payment, it just puts a different intensity on doing the right thing. And remember, the NFL passed this really smart kind of contractual wording in their CBA. If the players test positive because they were irresponsible going to a casino, going out to a restaurant that was, you know, in violations of codes, or even if they weren't, if they go out, they go to a strip club, let's say, they test positive, they miss Sunday's game. They don't get paid for that game. So if you are an NFL pro, you don't want to take that risk. It's the best security blanket against the NFL players being irresponsible. Okay, you want to go out and do your thing? You don't get paid. Well, that's why they're there. Yeah, many of them are hyper-competitive and they want to win and they like the camaraderie and this is what they love to do. But every one of them gets a paycheck. And that just changes your expectations of what your responsibilities are and how accountable you are. This is why I said I think the NFL is going to be fine. And throughout the summer, people wrung their hands and they worried and they said, I don't know, will the NFL season be played? And I said, I think it's going to be played. I think the NFL is going to be able to pull this off. I don't trust college being played to its entirety. And 2 weeks into the NFL season and 3 weeks or 4 weeks into the college season, they might both get played in its entirety, but we've had multiple cancellations and postponements in college and none in the NFL. Now, remember, college has a lot more teams, so it's harder to keep everything on track than just 32. But I think it's a cultural thing as well between the age groups. Mraz, what do you think the biggest reason is that the NFL's been able to handle this pretty smoothly and college has had all these hiccups?
Well, I think it's a combination of, as you mentioned, the finances behind it. Your livelihood is on the line. You're not going to miss paychecks. I mean, we've already seen the NFL Players Union at times when there has been threats of lockouts and strikes. I mean, they always seem to wilt way quicker than any of the other players' unions because they want that paycheck. So they're not going to take those sort of chances. And I would think the other part of it is just the finances behind the constant testing, right? I mean, we can talk about all you want with the SEC, ACC, Notre Dame. The testing's just not the same as the protocols that you're going through in the NFL where it's, you know, every single day seemingly, or wearing these bracelets with the contact tracing. If somebody happens to test positive, a player test positive because he went out to dinner in the NFL, you're going to be able to contain him and get him and figure this out quicker than you would a college player who could maybe have some symptoms, maybe go unnoticed, then he's around the rest of the team. It's just the NFL has a way of containing this quicker where I think even if a player tests positive in the NFL, if it's early enough in the week, you're not going to have a cancellation of a game, where college, it's like the wild, wild west with these players.
I think that's true. I think that's absolutely true. The NFL has such money behind making sure the NFL games go off of the schedule and the slate, the rapid testing and removing players and all types of securities taken and protocols taken to the facilities. You're absolutely right. That's a big factor in it. Notre Dame's game postponed this upcoming Saturday. And so that is the first of the big games that have been postponed. We'll see if that continues while the NFL chugs along. Speaking of the NFL, Julie Donaldson is the VP of media for Washington, and she's entrusted with helping change the culture in Washington for the football team. We'll talk about it with her coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Dude has made himself what he is. A very successful broadcaster and entertainer that people are watching. Big DA House right here. Let the record reflect it. I respect him. I love the guy, and I like the way he handles his business.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks, Jim. Back at you. Sunday, the NFL on CBS features some fantastic matchups featuring the league's top contenders, including the Raiders on the road against the Patriots, and Deshaun Watson of the Texans trying to avoid 0-3 against the Steelers. It all starts with JB and the guys getting us set for the day, starting at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah!
Speaking of, always good to see Romy on the NFL on CBS. Love when he drops in and talks to those guys and chats football and gives us his takes. Real good stuff. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Ridgely mentions, DA, if you happen to flip on the A's-Dodgers game on ESPN last night after the Nuggets win, you might have caught Chipper Jones talking about his walk-up song, Crazy Train, which he took from Larry Walker. He also mentioned several players asked if they could also use it. So, I don't know what this says. I don't know. I mean, look, it's a good song. It's a hard-driving classic rock song. You're rarely going to flip off your classic rock station if Crazy Train is on by Ozzy. And Ozzy is one of the all-time greats. But we had a long conversation about Crazy Train yesterday because I just couldn't believe in Las Vegas, this brand new sparkling stadium, which is just a sight to behold, where everything is updated and futuristic. Everything is better than the last go-round. And yet they were still playing the same music as you would get at Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, 0.2, CO times 3, whatever that stadium ended up being called last time around. And I'm like, why can't we update the playlist as well? But this could be a self-fulfilling prophecy where it's played so much at sports arenas that players really like it or think they really like it, and thus it just perpetuates a cycle of never getting out of playing the same seven songs from 1980 that are played at every single sporting event. 855-212-4CBS. I mean, look, it's a good song, don't get me wrong, but I've heard it at every football game I've been at for 30 years. I just feel like you might want to diversify the portfolio. That's all I'm saying.
I got it. They say all aboard at the beginning. I never knew that.
What'd you think they said?
I don't know. It's probably whatever you thought the 21st of September was. I think I was just thought they said, bah, bah, bah.
Well, it makes far more sense that before the lyric or before a song called Crazy Train, they would say all aboard. For me, how was I supposed to know a song about September was about a specific night in September, the 21st night of September, in fact?
You're just supposed to know because every 21st of September, all anybody does is play the song or post about the 21st of September.
So you know how if you talk about something, your phone listens to it, or Google hears you, or your laptop listens, or the smart speaker, and then immediately you are given that advertisement for that product or something like that?
Yes.
Yesterday, on my feed, I had a story pop up about why it was named or why they sang about the 21st of September, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Now, this was also passed along to me by a listener as well, so I can't say that it's all AI, but the listener was not Allen Iverson. A listener passed this to me, and then also, I think, my Twitter feed was listening. And it turns out that there was a songwriter who was employed to help write the song September. They had the beat down, but they didn't know what the lyrics were going to be. And she came in 1978 to write this song with Earth, Wind, and Fire, and they just had the beat. And they finally got around to calling it September. And so she was trying to help them along with that first verse. And she said they went through every date in September to see what flowed best. And so they did. It's the fourth evening of September, the fifth evening, the 10th evening, the 12th. And finally, they just said the 21st evening of September flowed the best, sounded the best. So they just went with it. It has no other significance besides it sounded the best as they wrote the song and went through it producing it.
Oh, that stinks. You kind of hope that it would be a personal connection.
Of course. And she says she gets the question all the time. 21st night of September.
I don't even know if they say of. I think it's just 21st night, September.
Well, that's exactly right, which is why I never knew what they were saying there. Do you remember 21st night, September? Again, nobody says dates like that. Nobody has ever been like, Mraz, could you imagine?
What a song.
It's such a great song. It's such a great song. Do you remember 21st night of September? But I had no idea what they were saying. Do you remember when we were something in September? I had no idea.
Ba-da-ba-ba, September.
Do you remember something, September?
Now you'll never forget. Now, see, remember how I always say you always learn things on the DA show? You will now never forget, and that was a day you learned something.
It's true. Unfortunately, I didn't learn it because of the show. I learned it on Twitter because multiple people were posting about it. But it's true. We definitely discussed it, and then it forced me to learn about it as a listener and AI passed along the story about it.
Probably because he's been learned things.
Speaking of, Mraz, you're learning a lot, and you learned the SATs last year, how to take them, because you lost the bet in the college football versus NFL picks.
Yes.
And so you had to take the SAT. Well, we're trying to figure out a new bet between you and Super Dave for this year's picks. And you had a very, very good idea. I'm not going to say what it is yet until we have it cleared by Super Dave. But it involves you learning again. And I like bets that involve you having to do something educationally. Because I know, A, it pains you. And B, it's really good content for the show.
Look, I'm all about content. Now, I would tell you that whatever this big surprise could be was thought of with the idea I am already 5-1 in my picks, so I feel pretty confident I won't have to do it. But it does give a lot of people rooting against me some edge, and what do we love more than people rooting against me in my life? That is also a common theme. I'm basically the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, because you talk just as much as the Cowboys and accomplish just as little.
Right, right. And my nose continues to flake, kind of like Jerry Jones's.
So we are waiting on Julie Donaldson from Washington Football. But until we have her on the line, why don't we do headlines with Mr. Andrew Bogish. AB, good morning.
DA, good morning. Will Sean be naked if he loses this bet? You know how much he likes to
No, I'm refusing. Yeah, that was the most amazing thing. Well, DA, just tell me where you want me to be naked. I don't want you to be naked. That's not part of the bet. Just tell me how much clothes do you want me to take off in public?
I'll
definitely do it. Just tell me where and when. I mean, I'm already pantsless right now in the park. Let me know. Yeah. I'm walking around in my boxers outside the Target. Come on. Where do you want me naked?
Look, I'm here to do anything in the nude that needs to be done.
Yeah, we know. Tell me how little clothing you want me to enter the Christmas party with. Come on, let me know.
I'll put on more clothes.
No, the more people see skin of me, the more they can't attack how I look naked. Because you're used to it. It's like
so
the
this
Yankees
is strategic. Strategic, but yeah, this is the Yankees of pinch stripes.
No!
Fat stripes.
Stretch marks.
Sorry. Yeah, the pinstripes aren't exactly stretch marks or fat rolls, I gotta tell you.
I got cream for those stretch marks. Now they're fading.
You look like a pink cinnamon bun when you take off your shirt.
Gross.
Now I want a cinnamon one.
He helped build a 20-point lead early in the fourth quarter. So when that 20-point lead got cut to 3, Jamal Murray went back to work. 2 late threes and an assist helped Denver hang on 114-106. They now trail the Lakers 2-1 in the Western finale. Murray finished with 28 points, 8 rebounds, and 12 assists.
My whole energy, my whole approach to the game, not getting down if I miss a couple shots. I missed a couple free throws today, which, that never happens and it should never happen. Just trying to be aggressive in my shot, be aggressive going to the rim, be aggressive for my teammates.
Nikola Jokic added 22 points and 10 boards. Jeremy Grant scored a playoff career high 26, all while the Lakers were just 6-for-26 from 3. They committed 16 turnovers and were -7 at the free throw line. Game 4 is tomorrow night. It's tonight for the Heat and Celtics. They haven't played since Saturday. Miami leads that series 2-1. Billy Donovan apparently didn't want to be part of the Thunder's rebuild, but he's signing up for the one in Chicago. Donovan is the Bulls' new head coach, replacing the fired Jim Boylan. And Commissioner Adam Silver said yesterday, next season can't start on Christmas Day like so many hoped. Somewhere in January is now likely, and they're still planning on an 82-game schedule. The LA Dodgers clinched their playoff spot last week. Now they have their 8th NL West title in a row, as well as the number one seed in the league. So far, so good in this crazy season for Dave Roberts' club.
It's been really bizarre. I recall a time a few months ago where I didn't know if we were even going to have a season this year. So to now fast forward and to be crowned NL West champs again, it's a credit to everybody in that clubhouse and the organization.
Only the Braves of the 90s and early aughts and the Jeter Yankees had longer stretches of winning their divisions than these Dodgers. They clinched last night with a 7-2 decision over the A's and the Padres' 4-2 home loss to the Angels.
It's surprising that Jeter's Yankees had this record as well, considering how good the Red Sox were in the division for those years. But I guess the Red Sox never actually won the division, just won the wild card.
Mm-hmm. The Braves wrapped up the NL East 11-1 over the Marlins. The Cubs have their spot despite a 3-2 loss in Pittsburgh because the Phillies lost twice yesterday, and Cleveland's in after a 5-3 10-inning win over the White Sox. The Twins just a half game behind Chicago in the AL Central after getting by the Tigers 5-4-10, and Minnesota stays a game and a half ahead of the Yankees for first-round home field. The Bombers dumped the Blue Jays in Buffalo 12-1. The Giants are signing former Falcon running back Devontae Freeman to help replace Saquon Barkley. Atlanta dumped Freeman back in March, just 2 years into a five-year deal. He can reportedly make up to $3 million from Big Blue. The Colts placed wideout Paris Campbell and safety Malik Hooker on IR yesterday. Campbell's out indefinitely with MCL and PCL damage in his left knee. Hooker's done for the year with a torn ACL. The Pac-12 will reportedly make its decision about playing fall football during tomorrow's meetings. They'll either play a 7-game schedule starting Halloween or 6 games starting the following weekend, or of course nothing at all. Their title game would be December 19th. Notre Dame football, as we've discussed, dealing with 7 players with COVID-19, 13 total in quarantine, so all activities paused for now. They will not play at Wake Forest on Saturday. And the Seattle Storm and Minnesota Lynx able to play last night after Seattle had some inconclusive COVID-19 tests over the weekend. The Storm win their opener of their best-of-five semifinal 88-86 on Alicia Clark's buzzer-beating putback. All that after the Aces got even with the Sun, taking their game 2, 83-75. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. Why don't we check that, Mraz? Maybe do a little research in this commercial break. I'm interested because the Dodgers have won the NL West 8 straight years, is it?
Yes.
So I know that the Braves won the NL East, let's see, from 91, geez,
to 05.
05, right. So 14 mm-hmm. consecutive. I'd like to know the years that the Jeter Yankees won the division in a row. I would imagine it starts in 96. Well, I guess 95.
It's 98 to 06.
Yeah, 97, the Orioles won. The Yankees won in from 1998 to 2006. The Red Sox did not win a division until 2007. Then it was a Rays in 8. Oh, wait.
Okay, that's interesting. 98 to 06. So in 99, the Sox were a wild card. They met in the ALCS. That was the throwing Don Zimmer down to the ground game or series by Pedro. Then in 03, the Yankees win the division and the Red Sox are the wild card. They meet in the ALCS. Then in 04, the Yankees win the division. Red Sox win the wild card. They meet in the ALCS. And then in 07 is finally when the Red Sox broke through and won the World Series again.
Yes, in 07. The Red Sox didn't win a division. They won in 95 and then won again in 07. They went 12 years without winning division but making 3 ALCSs as a wild card.
And winning 1 World Series.
Yes.
That's interesting. Okay, good stuff. 855-212-4CBS is that phone number. Hit me up after last night's Nuggets win in Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return here on the show, Bogues just mentioned Billy Donovan heading to Chicago. Why would he choose the Bulls over the Thunder? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Are the glitch in the simulation.
Oh, shut up, Pete. You know what? Take a lap. Shut up. No. Shut up. Everybody was talking. I got interviews. I got boxes of chocolates. I got teddy bears. Na-na-na-na-na. 11-10.
There it is.
You got to shut up once in a while.
How about you shut up
You don't know how to shut up.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That's a pretty good little snapshot into this show. Everybody telling each other to shut up, even though we are employed gainfully to talk. You shut up. No, you shut up. You talk too much. No, you talk too much. You should think about what you say before you say it. It's the DA Show, where we talk for a living, 4 hours every single day, Monday through Friday, right here on CBS Sports Radio. Boy, there are so many ways you can actually listen to the show these days. I wish I was a sports talk fan growing up in this time. Because when I was growing up, if you missed the sports radio show that you wanted to hear, that was it. It was gone. If you were not in front of the radio at that given point in time, it was done. It passed you by, kind of like a crazy train. All aboard! Nowadays, let's just say you're a consumer of the DA Show. Well, you could, of course, be in front of your radio every single day on one of our hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border, and listen to us on CBS Sports Radio's terrestrial affiliates. Or you're outside of your range. You're on the road. You got Sirius XM. Boom. You pop it on, channel 206. Oh, but you know what? You want it on your phone because you're not in front of a radio speaker. That's all right. You can stream us using the CBS Sports app, which you get and you use for highlights and stories and breaking news anyway. You can listen to us on Apple Music. You listen to all your music on Apple Music anyway. Listen to us on Apple Music. There's a CBS Sports radio station on there. Also, use radio.com, an awesome app where you can listen to a lot of different sports talk, including us. Oh, but you know what? I want to watch you guys. Okay, you can do that. It's free. Go to watchda.com. No sign up needed. Watchda.com. Or, but DA, I'm playing video games on Twitch all the time. Watch us there. Go to the CBS Sports Radio channel on Twitch. Man, DA, but I can't, I'm not in front of the radio between your hours. That's all right. Listen to us whenever you want in podcast form. Just go to the DA show on any podcast platform. Subscribe. You'll get full episodes. Oh, but DA, I don't have the full 4 hours to listen to. That's all right. We condense it to a best of version. 1 hour every single day. I mean, man, we got you covered. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit car, motorcycle, RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. So good job by the Bulls hiring Billy Donovan. When you look at the last 17 years of John Paxson, and the combo of the Gar-Pax front office, it's been absolutely brutal. I mean, Gar-Pax was just a nightmare, a living nightmare for the Bulls. You know, signing Billy Donovan is a huge departure for the Bulls because they never hire notable, reputable, proven NBA coaches. When you look at who they have hired as head coach since Phil Jackson left, if we go back to the Last Dance, it's a joke. It's a clown car. Look at the head coaches since Phil Jackson left. Tim Floyd went 49-190, had a 205 winning percentage. Bill Cartwright for two seasons. Of course, a Bulls standout in the first three championship years under Jordan, but went 51-100 for a 336 win percentage. They hired Scott Skiles, who was actually there for a while, who had a sub-500 record, which makes him just about the most successful coach of the last 30 years for Chicago outside of Phil Jackson. Then it was Jim Boylan. Then it was Vinny Del Negro. Then it was Tom Thibodeau, who of course burned out quickly. Even though he had a very solid win percentage, he went 255-139. He wears out on you. And the Bulls, even though they had the Derrick Rose year and a couple of seasons where it looked like they were knocking on the door, fell back into hard times. So then they hired Fred Hoiberg, and then Jim Boylan, and then Billy Donovan finally. I mean, when you look up and down, these are not proven commodities. It's always an assistant coach, sometimes a hot assistant coach, but never a guy that's won in the NBA before. And finally, they got that. They got that with Billy Donovan. So I really like the hire for the Bulls. He's a proven commodity. He's won in college. He hasn't won big in the NBA, but the 1 year he had both Russ and KD, he went to the Western Conference Finals. The 1 year he got all the way to the Western Conference Finals, had a 3-1 lead over that incredible Warriors team. Had he won one more game of the Western Conference Finals, they would have been in the NBA Finals. And then since then, KD left. They've been interchanging a million different pieces trying to get Russell Westbrook his running mate. He's went to the playoffs every single year. And this year, a team that had neither, just Chris Paul and a bunch of spare parts, also went to the NBA playoffs and had a very frisky first round against the Rockets. So I like Billy Donovan. I like this hire by the Bulls. I'm not quite certain what Donovan sees in the Bulls, though, that he doesn't get in Oklahoma City. We all thought he was leaving Oklahoma City because he didn't want to be part of a rebuild and lose again. He'd been part of kind of this kind of never-ending rebuild going on in Oklahoma City. But is Chicago any different? I think if anything, it's that this job must be viewed around the NBA as a better job than the Thunder because it's got better young talent and perhaps also a better chance of acquiring a free agent because of the history of the organization and because of the size of the city. Because when you look at Oklahoma City, just from a future standpoint, who would you buy stock in? A team that has all of those draft picks because of the Paul George trade. I mean, they've got the Clippers draft picks flat out their first rounders in 22, 24, and 26, and then pick swaps in between. So they can swap with the Clippers if they happen to be better than the Clippers and the Clippers are worse. That's basically, you've got 5 straight years potentially of the Clippers' first round draft pick. Plus 3 of those, you have your own draft pick as well. That's a stockpile over the next 5 to 6 seasons that you just don't have in Chicago. Now you have Lauri Markkanen in Chicago, who should be better than he is. And you have some high-flying talent as well that just might not be coached well enough, properly enough. And so I suppose you're saying, if you're Billy Donovan, the Bulls aren't as bad as their record indicates. All right, maybe. But they're also really unproven and really young. And they don't have the boatload of draft picks. So maybe Donovan just felt like his time had come to a close in Oklahoma City. Maybe he had been there, done that. You know, you're there for 5 years, and there's only so many times you can tell the same group of players or new young players, you know, what's going on and how to do so before they tune you out. Maybe you just feel like a fresh start is needed. But my guess is that it's more about the Bulls aren't as bad as their record indicates, and that if you do get good, you can actually draw a free agent there versus trying to get guys to Oklahoma City. Nothing against OKC. I've been there. I've had a good time. But my guess is it's easier to land some big names where Michael Jordan once played, where there's 6 banners hanging above you in the 3rd largest city in America, versus getting them into a bar in Bricktown and having them, you know, say, okay, I want to be here. Again, nothing against Oklahoma City. I really like it there, but I spent many a Big 12 tournament there. But I'm guessing that's the case because, I mean, really, can you say right now that you have a better chance to win? Maybe because it's the East instead of the West. But, I mean, Mraz, can you really think that Billy Donovan's going to win bigger when it comes to going to Chicago?
No, you can only hope that he's shooting a fish in the barrel and hoping for a free agent, like you said. Like, does he have any kind of intel that Giannis would love to go play in Chicago or something like that? Because, yes, they have Kobe White, they have Lauri Markkanen, and they have some young talent. But clearly, unless you're getting a free agent in the NBA, the best way to build this is to get big-time first-round picks and develop them, and that's exactly what the Thunder are going to have coming their way. At least they have an allocation of assets. They could always trade up as well. I don't know. I mean, the Bulls have a fine enough young players, but ultimately, unless you're getting a free agent, and I guess you have a better shot at that than Oklahoma City, what is the difference there for him to make that move? Wouldn't you rather have the assets you have in the Thunder?
The Bulls do have the number 4 pick in the draft this year, so that's something.
Okay.
But this is really an underwhelming draft, so
right.
I don't know how thrilled you can be with number 4. Maybe it's just an Eastern Conference thing. I mean, maybe it just feels like if you're trying to break into the playoffs and win a playoff series, you can do it much easier in the East than you can in the West. You know, getting to the 6th seed of the East might feel way more reasonable than doing it in the Western Conference.
Is that what the NBA's become, though? You're taking jobs based on where you hope you can get the 6th seed and have an easier first-round matchup? I mean, that is troubling if that's where the NBA's at.
I would hope not, because I think Billy Donovan would have better options than that. I would think, you know, if you're a young coach and you're trying to cut your teeth, than building a young club that can be plucky and, you know, being there long term. That might be tantalizing. But for Billy Donovan, I would got to imagine he had better options than going to the Chicago Bulls. Yeah. So it's got to be that he thinks that their record's way worse than they should be. The number four pick is valuable, and that the city of Chicago, the market of Chicago, is a draw. And what else could it be? When we come back here on the show, we begin a big final 2 hours guest-wise. How about Daredevil Nick Wallenda next?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.